So our Monday Growth Group has spent some time reading the book, The Circle Maker, by Mark Batterson. And the first question I have for you that comes from this book is, how big do you think your God is? How big is your God? You know, we sing songs like, our God is an awesome God. And we hear stories about people marching around Jericho and blowing horns and Jericho's walls coming down. How big do you believe your God is? Is your God bigger than a diagnosis? Is your God bigger than a bad job evaluation? Is your God bigger than that little voice in your head that tells you things about yourself? How big is your God? Because that's what we learned about in this book by Mark Batterson. It starts off with a circle maker in 1st century BC called Honi. And there was a year-long drought in Israel. And everyone was dying off. And the last generation of Israelites was going to die off if there was no rain. So they went out beyond the walls of the city to this kind of crazy guy. He was a sage called Honi. And they said, well, we're just going to go out and get Honi because we have nothing else we can do. So they brought in Honi. And Honi brought in his stick. And he started praying. And he prayed in a circle around and around and around, and it hadn't rained in years. But as Honi continued to pray in a circle, God listened, and God sent the rain. But Honi didn't just pray for rain. Honi prayed for a specific amount of rain and a certain kind of rain, a saving rain that would save the first century Israelites. And it did. And that's what this book is about. This book is about determining what you need to pray about in your life and circling it with prayer. Not just a prayer now and then, but a constant prayer. And not just a wishy-washy prayer, a bold prayer. You need to pray specifically, and you need to pray continuously for that thing. And it might not happen. It might not happen immediately, like it felt like it happened for Honi, but if you keep going and you keep praying and you believe that it will work, because how big is your God? Is your God big enough to give you what you're going to pray for? Yes, he is. You just need to believe that. And you also need to understand that that prayer is going to happen. So not only do you pray for it, you thank God for it before you get it, because you know it's going to come. You're going to pray. You're going to circle that in prayer, and it's going to happen because you know that God is big enough for that. That's what this book is about. So how big is your God? Is your God big enough to answer a bold prayer? Because God honors bold prayers, and bold prayers honor God. And that's what this book is about.
Before I start, I want to just share that a lot of what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning is from the book itself. On his website, Mark did give permission to do that. And because we're talking about circle making and prayer, you know, I can't do it any better than he did. So, and a lot of what Tina mentioned will be included. It was the 1st century B.C., and a devastating drought threatened to destroy a generation, the generation before Jesus. The last of the Jewish prophets had died off nearly 4 centuries before. Miracles were such a distant memory that they seemed like a false memory, and God was nowhere to be heard. But there was one man, an eccentric sage who lived outside the walls of Jerusalem, who dared to pray anyway. His name was Honi, and even if the people could no longer hear God, he believed that God could still hear them. When rain is plentiful, it's an afterthought. During a drought, it's the only thought. And Honi was their only hope. Famous for his ability to pray for rain, it was on this day, the day, that Honi would earn his moniker. With a 6-foot staff in his hand, Honi began to turn like a math compass. His circular movement was rhythmical and methodical. 90 degrees, 180 degrees, 270 degrees, 360 degrees. He never looked up as the crowd looked on. After what seemed like hours, but had only been seconds, Honi stood inside the circle he had drawn. Then he dropped to his knees and raised his hands to heaven. With the authority of the prophet Elijah, who called down fire from heaven, Honi called down rain. Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy upon your children. The words sent a shudder down the spine of all who were within earshot that day. It wasn't just the volume of his voice, it was the authority of his tone. Not a hint of doubt. This prayer didn't originate in the vocal cords. Like water from an artesian well, the words flowed from the depth of his soul. His prayer was resolute yet humble, confident yet meek, expectant yet unassuming. Then it happened. As his prayer ascended to the heavens, raindrops descended to the earth. An audible gasp swept across the thousands of congregants who had encircled Honi. Every head turned heavenward. As his prayer ascended to the heavens, raindrops descended to the earth. Oh, sorry. Kind of went backwards a line. I'm sorry. Every head turned heavenward as the first raindrops parachuted from the sky, but Honi's head remained bowed. The people rejoiced over each drop, but Honi wasn't satisfied with a sprinkle. Still kneeling within the circle, Honi lifted his voice over the sounds of celebration. Not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain that will fill cisterns, pits, and caverns. The sprinkle turned into such a torrential downpour that eyewitnesses said no raindrop was smaller than an egg in size. It rained so heavily and so steadily that the people fled to the Temple Mount to escape the flash floods. Honi stayed and prayed inside his protracted circle. Once more, he refined his bold request. Not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain of thy favor, blessing, and graciousness. Then, like a well-proportioned sun shower on a hot and humid August afternoon, it began to rain calmly, peacefully. Each raindrop was a tangible token of God's grace. And they didn't just soak the skin, they soaked the spirit with faith. It would be forever remembered as the day thunderclaps applauded the Almighty, the day puddle jumping became an act of praise, the day the legend of the circle maker was born. It had been difficult to believe the day before, but the day after, it was impossible not to believe. Honi was celebrated like a hometown hero by the people whose lives he had saved, but some within the Sanhedrin called the circle maker into question. A faction believed that drawing a circle and demanding rain dishonored God. Maybe it was those same members of the Sanhedrin who would criticize Jesus for healing a man's withered arm on the Sabbath a generation later. They threatened Honi with excommunication, but because the miracle could not be repudiated, Honi was ultimately honored for his act of prayerful bravado. The prayer that saved a generation was deemed one of the most significant prayers in the history of Israel. The circle he drew in the sand became a sacred symbol. And the legend of Honi the Circle Maker stands forever as a testament to the power of a single prayer to change the course of history. The earth has circled the sun more than 2,000 times since the day. The day that Honi drew his circle. But God is still looking for circle makers, and the timeless truth secreted within this ancient legend is as true now as it was then. Bold prayer honors God, and God honors bold prayer. God isn't offended by our biggest dreams or boldest prayers. When you pray to God regularly, you live a different way. Something different in your step because you know that God goes before you. You know, God can show up and change any and everything. I promise you this, God is ready and waiting. So while I have no idea what circumstances you find yourself in, I'm confident that you are only one prayer away from a dream fulfilled, a promise kept, or a miracle performed. It's absolutely imperative at the outset that you come to terms with this simple yet life-changing truth. God is ready and waiting. Consider the story of Joshua and Jericho that we just heard. They silently circled the promise God had given them, and the walls came tumbling down. After 7 days of circling Jericho, God delivered on a 400-year-old promise. He proved, once again, that his promises don't have expiration dates. And Jericho stands and falls as a testament to this simple truth. If you keep circling the promise, God will ultimately deliver it. This not only reveals the way God performed this particular miracle, it also establishes a pattern for us to follow. It challenges us to confidently circle the promises of God, all the promises that he has given to us. And it begs the question, what is your Jericho? What promise are you praying around? What miracle are you marching around? What dream does your life revolve around? Drawing prayer circles starts with identifying your Jericho. You've got to define the promises God wants you to stake claim to, the miracles God wants you to believe for, and the dreams God wants you to pursue. Then you need to keep circling until God gives you what he wants and what he wills. That's the goal. Now here's the problem. Most of us don't get what we want simply because we don't know what we want. We've never circled any of God's promises. We've never written down a list of life goals. We've never defined success for ourselves. Instead of drawing circles, we draw blanks. We need different miracles during different seasons of our life. We pursue different dreams during different stages of life. And we stake claim to different promises in different situations. It's a moving target, but you have to start somewhere. Why not right here, right now? Don't just read the Bible. Start circling the promises. Don't just make a wish. Write down a list of life goals. Don't just pray. Keep a prayer journal. Define your dream. Claim your promise. Spell your miracle. We desperately need to rediscover the difference between praying for and praying through. There are certainly circumstances where praying for something will get the job done. But there are also situations where you need to grab hold of the horns of the altar and refuse to let go until God answers. Like Honi, you refuse to move from the circle until God moves. You intercede until God intervenes. Praying through is all about consistency. It's circling Jericho so many times it makes you dizzy. Praying through doesn't take no for an answer. Circle makers know that it's always too soon to quit praying because you never know when the wall is about to fall. You are always only one prayer away from a miracle. Praying through is all about intensity. It's not quantitative, it's qualitative. Drawing prayer circles involves more than words. It's gut-wrenching groans and heart-breaking tears. Praying through doesn't just bend God's ear. It touches the heart of your Heavenly Father. When was the last time you found yourself flat on your face before the Almighty? When was the last time you cut off circulation, kneeling before the Lord? When was the last time you pulled an all-nighter in prayer? There are higher heights and deeper depths in prayer, and God wants to take you there. He wants to take you places you've never been before. But if you want God to do something new in your life, you can't do the same old thing. It's time to start circling. Before the first raindrop fell, Honi had to feel a little foolish. Standing inside a circle and demanding rain is a risky proposition. Vowing that you won't leave the circle until it rains is even riskier. Honi didn't draw a semicircle. He drew a complete circle. There was no escape clause, no expiration date. Honi backed himself into a circle, and the only way out was a miracle. Drawing prayer circles often looks like an exercise in foolishness, but that's faith. Faith is the willingness to look foolish. Noah looked foolish building a boat in the middle of a desert. The Israelite army looked foolish marching around Jericho blowing trumpets. A shepherd boy named David looked foolish charging a giant with a slingshot. The wise men looked foolish tracking a star. Peter looked foolish getting out of a boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus looked foolish wearing a crown of thorns. But the results speak for themselves. Noah was saved from the flood. Peter walked on water. The walls came tumbling down. David defeated Goliath. The wise men discovered the Messiah. And Jesus was crowned the King of Kings. Drawing prayer circles often feels foolish. And the bigger the circle you draw, the more foolish you'll feel. But if you aren't willing to step out of the boat, you'll never walk on water. If you aren't willing to circle the city, the wall will never fall. And if you aren't willing to follow the star, you'll miss out on the greatest adventure of your life. In order to experience a miracle, you have to take a risk. And one of the most difficult types of risk to take is risking your reputation. Honi already had a reputation as a rainmaker. But he was willing to risk his reputation by praying for rain one more time. Honi took the risk, and the rest is history. The greatest chapters in history always begin with risk. And the same is true with the chapters of your life. If you're unwilling to risk your reputation, you'll never build the boat like Noah or get out of the boat like Peter. You cannot build God's reputation if you aren't willing to risk yours. God asks us, is there any limit to my power? The obvious answer to that question is no. God is omnipotent, which means by definition, there is nothing God cannot do. Yet many of us pray as if our problems are bigger than God. So let me remind you of this truth that should fuel your faith. God is infinitely bigger than your biggest problem or biggest dream. The modern mystic A.W. Tozer believes that a low view of God is the cause of 100 lesser evils, but a high view of God is the solution to 10,000 temporal problems. If that's true, then your biggest problem isn't an impending divorce or failing business or doctor's diagnosis. Please understand that I'm not making light of your relational or financial or health issues. I certainly don't want to minimize your overwhelming challenges you might be facing. But in order to regain a godly perspective on your problems, you have to answer this question. Are your problems bigger than God? Or is God bigger than your problems? Our biggest problem is our small view of God. That is the cause of all lesser evils. And it's a high view of God that is the solution to all other problems. Is there any limit to my power? Have you answered that question? There are only two options, yes or no. Until you come to the conviction that God's grace and power know no limits, you will draw a small prayer circle. Once you embrace the omnipotence of God, you'll draw ever-enlarging circles around your God-given, God-sized dreams. How big is your God? Is he big enough to heal your marriage or heal your child? Is he bigger than a positive MRI or a negative evaluation? Is he bigger than your secret sin or secret dream? God poses the question, is there any limit to my power? The size of prayers depends on the size of our God. And if God knows no limit, then neither should our prayers. With God, there is no big or small, easy or difficult, possible or impossible. That is difficult for us to comprehend because all we've ever known are the four dimensions we were born into. But God is not subject to the natural laws he instituted. He has no beginning and no end. To the infinite, all finites are equal. Even our hardest prayers are easy for the omnipotent one to answer because there is no degree of difficulty. When God gives a vision, he makes provision. We just need the courage to step out in faith when God is calling us to get out of the boat. Otherwise, we'll forfeit the miracle. We have to do our part, and our part is taking a step of faith and pursuing the dream God has put on our hearts. So what step of faith do you need to take? What decision do you need to make? On what promise do you need to put down a stake? How desperate are you for the miracle? Desperate enough to pray through the night? How many times are you willing to circle the promise? If you aren't desperate, you won't take desperate measures. And if you don't pray like it depends on God, the biggest miracles and best promises will remain out of your prayer reach. But if you learn how to pray hard like Coney, God will honor your bold prayers because your bold prayers honor God. Coney's prayer reveals something about the nature of God. God could care less about protocol. If he did, Jesus would have chosen the Pharisees as his disciples. But that isn't who Jesus honored. Jesus honored the prostitute who crashed a party at a Pharisee's home to anoint his feet. Jesus honored the tax collector who climbed a tree in his three-piece suit just to get a glimpse of Jesus. Jesus honored the four friends who cut in line and cut a hole in someone's ceiling to help their friend. People took desperate measures to get to God, and God honored them. Nothing has changed. God is still honoring these people who crash parties that threaten to... God is still honoring these people who crash parties and climb trees. God is still honoring those who defy protocol with their bold prayers. God is still honoring those who pray boldly and with tenacity. Several centuries before the drought that threatened to destroy Honi's generation, there was another drought in Israel. For three long years, there was no puddle jumping in Israel. Then the Lord promised Elijah he would send rain. But like every promise, Elijah still had to circle it with persistent prayer. So Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, fell on his face, and prayed for rain. Six times he told his servant to look toward the sea, but there was no sign of rain. And that is when most of us give up. We stop praying because we can't see any tangible difference with our natural eyes. We allow our circumstances to get between God and us instead of putting God between us and our circumstances. Like Honi, who said, "I will not move from here," Elijah held his holy ground. He stood on the promise of God. I think Elijah would have prayed 10,000 times if that is what it took. But between the sixth and seventh prayer, there was a subtle shift in the atmospheric pressure. After the seventh circle, Elijah's nearsighted servant strained his eyes and saw a small cloud the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. I can't help but ask the question, what if Elijah had quit praying after the sixth circle? The obvious answer is that he would have defaulted on the promise and forfeited this miracle. But Elijah prayed through, and God came through. The sky turned black, heavy winds blew across the barren landscape, and raindrops fell for the first time in 3 years. And it wasn't a light drizzle, it was a terrific rainstorm. It's so easy to give up on dreams, give up on miracles, and give up on promises. We lose heart, lose patience, and lose faith. And like a slow leak, it often happens without us even knowing it until our prayer life gets flat. Is there some dream that God wants to resurrect? Is there some promise you need to reclaim? Is there some miracle you need to start believing for again? The reason that many of us give up too soon is because we feel like we have failed if God doesn't answer our prayer. That isn't failure. The only way you can fail is if you stop praying. Even after 3 years of drought, even after a severe bout with depression, Elijah believed that God could send rain even now. I can't help but wonder if Honey the Circle Maker was inspired by the story of Elijah praying for rain 7 times. I wonder if Israel's original rainmaker was Honey's childhood hero. And I wonder if Honey's persistence in prayer was hyperlinked to this miracle. If God did it for Elijah, he can do it for me. Certainly our most powerful prayers are hyperlinked to the promises of God. When you know you are praying the promise of God, you can pray with holy confidence. It's the difference between praying on thin ice and on solid ground. It's the difference between praying tentatively and praying boldly. You don't have to second guess yourself because you know that God wants you to double click on his promises. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes. Remember the promises to Joshua that he would give him every place he set his foot, but there is a little addendum at the end of that promise, just as I promised Moses. The promise was originally given to Moses, then it was transferred to Joshua. In much the same way, all of God's promises have been transferred to us via Jesus Christ. While those promises must be interpreted intelligently and applied accurately, there are moments when the Spirit of God will quicken your spirit to claim a promise that was originally intended for someone else. So while we have to be careful not to blindly claim a promise that doesn't belong to us, our greatest challenge is that we don't circle the promises we could or should circle. By the most conservative estimates, there are more than 3,000 promises in Scripture. By virtue of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, every one of them belongs to you. Every one of them has your name on it. The question is, how many of them have you circled? We often view prayer and scripture reading as two distinct spiritual disciplines without much overlap. But what if they were meant to be hyperlinked? What if reading became a form of praying, and praying became a form of reading? One of the primary reasons we don't pray through is because we run out of things to say. Our lack of persistence is really a lack of conversation pieces. Like a conversation, we don't know what to say. Or like a conversation on its last leg, we run out of things to talk about. So instead of praying hard about a big dream, we're left with small talk. Our prayers are as meaningless as a conversation about the weather. So what is the solution? Pray through the Bible. What promise do you need to circle? It starts changing the way you read the Bible. In fact, the Bible wasn't meant to be read through. The Bible was meant to be prayed through. And if you pray through it, you'll never run out of promises to circle. The Bible is a promise book and a prayer book. And while reading it's reactive, prayer is proactive. Reading is the way you get through the Bible. Prayer is the way you get the Bible through you. As you pray, the Holy Spirit will quicken certain promises to your spirit. It's very difficult to predict what and when and where and how, but over time, the promises of God will become your promises. Then you need to circle those promises, both figuratively and literally. It's time to start circling.